I want to speak today on making healthier communities, and I'm going to focus a little bit on fathers. And fathers play a very important role. I'm going to say this a couple times today, and listen. Fathers are the key to healthy families, and healthy families make healthy communities. You and I want to see our community healthy. Let's face it, families have to be healthy first. Okay? So, I want to read to you some statistics about fathers, how important they really are. You see, the family needs dad to be present. According to this article from Focus on the Family, nearly 20 million children in America, that's almost one in every four, live without a father in the home. Sadly, children in this situation face unique challenges. Statistically, they're more likely to grow up with financial challenges and more likely to drop out of school. Boys from fatherless homes are more likely to be involved in violent crime, while girls are more likely to become pregnant as teenagers. In addition, listen to these statistics. 71% of all high school dropouts come from homes with absent fathers. 85% of all youth in prison come from fatherless homes. 90% of all homeless and runaway children come from fatherless environments. Did you hear that? 70% of teen suicides occur in homes where there isn't a dad. Dads, you have a role to play. It is not just your job to make money and show up the odd time. You are important. You matter. Your kids need you. And if you're here today and you're a single dad, you keep being a dad. If things have happened that you can't be there, but you can be a dad still, be a dad. Your kids need you. You see, families need fathers. Our communities need fathers. Maybe I can read this another way to help you understand. If every family in our area had a father, there'd be 71% less dropouts. If every family in our community had a healthy father, there'd be 85% less youth in prison. Maybe if every family had a father, there would be 90% less homeless children, runaways. And if every family in our community had a father, there would be 70% less teen suicides. And the interesting thing about this article, it didn't say anything about perfect fathers, did it? The statistic was only that there's a father in the home. Nothing about how perfect they are, nothing about how much money they make, nothing about how romantic they are. That was just for the wives here. Fathers there. Wow. So let me say before we get going too far today, fathers, make your relationships with mom work. It isn't all about you. If you've chosen to have children, it's no longer all about you. Figure out how to make it work well. I tell you what, you're going to go through things. The key is you go through. You don't quit and run off. Go through. And I found something out. People that go through become stronger and stronger and healthier. Don't give up. And moms, if that thought comes to you that, oh, I don't need this annoying guy, yes, you do. Don't kick him out. Now, I understand if it's an abusive relationship, if there's things happening like that, that's a whole different ballgame. I'm talking about normal things. I have heard people... Yeah, did I make that clear enough? Because I don't want anybody to think you should stay in an abusive relationship where you're being abused. That's not. But if it's a relationship and you're just like, oh, you don't make enough money or there's somebody better looking or whatever, that's just ridiculous. Quit it. Instead, figure out how to make that guy better. I'm speaking to the women here for a minute. And I'll tell you something. Complaining about him and to him will never make him better. It'll make him work longer and find reasons to stay away. That's a fact. Did you catch that? You want them to be around more? Tell them sweet things. Focus on what you can celebrate about him. Man, you are so awesome. You are so strong. I mean, if that's the only thing you can find, go with that. I love the way you fill in the blanks. Don't just think it, tell him. He needs to hear it. Guys like to pretend we're macho, we got this. But we love to hear our spouses tell us when we're doing well, not just when they don't like what's happening. Okay? All right. For some of the single ones, I'm giving them some tips for down the road here. You know, if that's a desire in your heart, it's never too late. I heard of a couple in their 80s getting married. It's never too late if that's a desire in your heart. You're like, yeah, but the last one was so horrible and everything. And, well, we serve a God who gives second chances. Did you know it's a lie? This is Father's Day, and I keep going back to the ladies here a bit today. If the enemy is telling you there's no guy that would ever want you, guaranteed, that's a lie. If he's telling you, oh, you're not good looking enough, you're this, you're that, that is a complete lie. And there's a good chance you feel that way because somebody was abusive in your life in the past. Because that's not what God speaks. You see, God makes beautiful things. God did not create one mess up. It's not like a factory that puts stuff out, oh, this one's wrecked. That's not the case. But you know, the enemy tries to tell people that. And I bet if we took a, you know, secret poll right now this morning, there would probably be half the women in this place who would say they've thought of that often, that they're no good, they're not enough. The devil's a liar. I said the devil's a liar. You're good enough. God made you amazing. Don't listen to those lies. All right. Okay, women, I'm going to get into the father stuff and keep going here, but I hope you feel encouraged. I hope you have some hope. Oh, you know, God created family for a reason. And we're going to talk about healthy communities again here. And healthy communities have healthy families. It's not wrong to desire a spouse. That's how God created it. Now, if you're happy being single, that's awesome. There was people in Scripture who remained single and served God. Go ahead. But for those who have that God-given desire there, let's pray and believe for God to make healthy families with healthy men. And men, it could be that the women are having trouble finding spouses because there's not a lot of healthy men. Oh boy, now we're in trouble. You see, healthy single men that a woman is looking for to marry is not someone who's hanging out at the bars, taking off with women, whoever. There's no woman who wants to marry that guy. Man, it got quiet in here. Pastors preach about everything, don't they? We do. Women are looking for a man that will commit to and love them only. Who will build them up. Doesn't matter if they're ugly. Doesn't matter how much they make. If that man will show up and say, you are awesome, they'll be like, marry me. Okay? Am I speaking truth here? Okay. Okay, I got to get going here. We got to keep moving on. But yeah, I want to encourage you and be blessed. Okay, we're talking about making healthier communities, and we began with that fact. Healthy families and fathers, you're the key. You see, we can make healthier communities in a number of ways, and as believers, one of the things we should be doing is praying for our communities and for the people in them. And there's a couple things Scripture just says right away, hey, pray for this. And one of those is praying for people in authority. 1 Timothy 2 verse 1 says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. Praying for people in authority blesses and changes your community. So for Slave Lake, let's just speak about our community. We should be praying for our mayor and counselors. You see, to just, again, run them down or complain doesn't help your community at all. But praying for them to have wisdom and for God to even direct them, praying for unity and protection over them, praying for things to line up and work the way God wants. You know, praying for God's Spirit to move and sway them, well, that's a whole different thing. And how about praying for their families? Did you know they're real people just like you and I? Did you know they go through things too? Did you know they may be having a horrible week, but they got to go to a council meeting for 2 or 3 hours? I heard there was a 3-hour one. That's horrible. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not in politics. Okay. Anyhow, they don't do that just for fun. And I don't think there's a politician anywhere that does it just for the money. Okay, so pray for them. All right? Also, we can pray against spiritual wickedness and for others. You see, today we're specifically talking about making our communities healthy spiritually. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the spiritual side of things. I'm not going to go deep into it or anything, but we'll touch on it today. Because if we're going to make healthy communities spiritually, we can't pretend that there is no spiritual side to this. There most definitely is. You know, I think about it sometimes. If God would just open everybody's eyes like that to see the spiritual realm, you'd all be blown away. Actually, some of you'd probably be scared. But, my, then we'd actually believe it, wouldn't we? Of course, God did that in Scripture for a couple of people, and they were shocked. But there is a spiritual side, and you and I need to pray into that as well. Ephesians 6, verse 11 and 12, and then we're going to skip to verse 18. It says, put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So, you and I are called to pray, and we're told that this is not a battle against people, but there's a spiritual side to it. And Ephesians 6 is a great chapter with a lot in it about the armor, and then the one offensive weapon is your ability to pray in the Spirit. And we are a Pentecostal church, and when we say pray in the Spirit, we mean Him leading us, but we also mean praying in tongues. If you're Spirit-filled and you know how to pray in tongues, that is a godly thing. And that is something that changes the spiritual realm. Okay, we don't talk about that a lot, but it is really, really important. So, praying in the Spirit, understanding there's a spiritual realm, and doing it. I had a person come and ask the pastors, hey, could you pray for this certain area? You know, when we were sharing a message, he really felt this is so important. We need to pray for this area in our community because there's definitely something spiritual going on there. When you drive through that area, it's horrible. And yeah, you can go to areas, drive around, you can pray from wherever you're at, and you can believe for things to change in the Spirit. When things change in the Spirit, the natural follows. Okay, so prayer is key, and prayer should be first. We took some time last night to pray for certain things. I'm not sure how we're going to do that this morning or if we are, but I can tell you this, things will change in Slave Lake when we pray. You see, I remember reading in the newspaper not too long ago about the fact that there's a kind of a rental crisis, but nobody wants to build. Nobody can figure out why. When you can't figure out why in the natural, there's probably a spiritual reason. Okay? So last night, we took some time to pray the spiritual side of things, and I believe just from that prayer, you're going to see things open up in Slave Lake. There will be development again. There will be housing because you start in the Spirit, and then there's people already working in the natural to see change. So guess what? Praying in the Spirit matters. How many here would say in the past you've prayed for spiritual things? Yeah, so it's not something that everybody does. And maybe it's something in the future we should teach on a little more, because it really is important. And again, I'm not going to go too far into that today. Anybody can pray and have authority in the Spirit. The thing is, they just are praying in Jesus' name, and it's His power, and they believe it. See, there are spiritual things that happen all the time. I can give you just a little one that's not too complicated, but I remember years ago when our oldest daughter was about 6 years old, and she started having nightmares at night. And she would have these nightmares, and of course she'd wake up screaming. She'd come, we'd hear, I'd go pray for her. And it came to me, you know, I need to tell her she can pray. And so I told her, hey, if you're having nightmares, you can just say in the name of Jesus, go, and the nightmare will end. Because it's spiritual. Not every dream is spiritual, but nightmares often are. I said, you can say in Jesus' name, go, or just say in Jesus' name, but your intention is that it goes, and the dream will end. So we had this little talk with my six-year-old. And the next night, she had a dream, and in the morning, she comes to me, and she comes to me with her hands on her hip. Dad, it didn't work. I was like, oh. I was like, what didn't work? You told me to pray, and it didn't work. I said, oh, that's because I forgot something important. Sometimes you need to pray more than once. You see, using your authority isn't a one-time, oh, whatever, let's see what happens. It's saying, hey, this is going to happen. The next morning, she came to me, and her hands weren't on her hips this time, and she said, Dad, it worked. You were right. I had to pray more than once. And do you know what? She never, ever came to me needing prayer for a nightmare ever again, because she understood she had the authority to pray in the spiritual realm. Had she read through the whole Bible yet? No. Had she been to a lot of prayer training? No. You guys understand, a six-year-old can have authority. Why can't you? You can. The key is you need to believe it and know who's giving you the authority. So for her, as a six-year-old, she just believed Dad. Oh, Dad said it, it's true. Can you believe God's word? Because if He said it, it's true. So I want to encourage you on that. Pray in the Spirit, whatever level you're at. If you're a brand new Christian or you've been a Christian for many years, and God will give you wisdom and teach you and grow you in it. But if all you can do at the beginning is, Lord, bless Slave Lake, then drive around and say, Lord, bless Slave Lake. It's not a waste of time. If all you can say is, Lord, bless my family, then go ahead and pray that to begin with, and God will bless. We need to pray for God's presence in our community and His presence to change lives. Acts 4, verse 29 says, Now, Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they preached the word of God with boldness. You see, when you pray and ask the Lord to come with His Holy Spirit, He will. And what I've found is He fills people, but He also fills places. You see, the place shook because His presence first entered the place and then people. And God wants to fill you. He wants to give you boldness. And how does that begin? By asking in prayer. I want you to know something. As a believer, if you've accepted Christ, your prayers have great power. Your prayers are not nothing. They're not just words you're throwing out there like, oh, I hope God catches this one, or maybe it's like a wish and the genie will pop out. That's not what prayer is. Prayer is believing that when you speak and ask, things have to change. Not because you're great, because He's great and He said it. A believer's prayer has great power. Listen to James 5, verse 16. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was a human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. This is a story of Elijah. I'll give you some background. But I love how it says here, your prayers have power, and you're no different than Elijah. See, this is key. Often when we read the Old Testament prophets were like, well, yeah, but they were at a whole different level. We could never pray like that. He just told you, you're no different. And Elijah was a prophet in those days, and he told the king of Israel, you guys are serving false gods, and God is upset. Because he's upset, there's going to be no rain until he tells me, and I pray for rain. And there was no rain for 3.5 years. And King Ahab, the king of Israel at that time, he was angry, but he didn't quit with the false prophets. He didn't quit or change anything that was happening. He just got mad at the prophet. He got mad at the messenger. You know, getting mad at the messenger won't change your situation, except you'll be more angry. But anyhow, eventually God speaks to Elijah and says, I want you to talk to King Ahab now, so we're going to set this up. And he ends up talking to King Ahab and says, we're going to settle this once and for all. Who's the real God? Jehovah, the God of Israel, or these false prophets Baal? Is it Baal or is it Jehovah? He said, so bring all your prophets and meet me at Mount Carmel, and we are going to take and build an altar, and we're going to put a sacrifice on the altar, and then we're going to stand back and pray that the true God sends fire and burns the offering. In other words, we're not lighting it. And the prophets of Baal agree to it. So the prophets of Baal begin first, and they're praying to Baal. Oh, Baal, you know, send fire, start it on fire for us. They end up praying most of the day, and no fire comes. And because they're into false worship, they end up piercing themselves, and blood's gushing out. It's just a horrible sight. But they think somehow that's going to make an answer come. No answer comes. And Elijah says, okay, that's enough. It's my turn. He builds an altar, and he says, pour lots of water on it. I don't want anybody saying we lit this ahead of time or something. Pour the water. They pour water 3 times. There's a trench around it full of water. And then he makes a simple prayer. And he says, Lord, show your people again that you're the one true God and that you sent me to speak this. And send fire and consume this sacrifice. And God sends fire and consumes everything. And the people begin shouting, the Lord, he's God, the Lord, he's God, Jehovah, he's God. They're convinced, okay, Baal's false. This is the one true God. And they destroy the prophets of Baal. And then Elijah talks to Ahab, and I want to get into the story again right here. 1 Kings 18. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. So Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and bowed low to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. Then he said to his servant, go and look out toward the sea. The servant went and looked and then returned to Elijah and said, I didn't see anything. 7 times Elijah told him to go and look. Finally, the 7th time, his servant told him, I saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising from the sea. Then Elijah shouted, hurry to Ahab and tell him, climb in your chariot and go back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you. And soon the sky was black with clouds. A heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm, and Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. Then the Lord gave special strength to Elijah. He tucked his cloak into his belt, and he ran ahead of Ahab's chariot all the way to the entrance of Jezreel. I want you to see something about faith and prayer that you and I have the ability to do. You see, the community, if you will, that Elijah was speaking to was completely turned away from God. That because of prayer and faith, it completely turned back the people's hearts. Now, if we read on, you'll realize Ahab's wife didn't turn at all at this point. But Elijah does a couple things here. First, as we see where he starts out, he declares what God has told him. He says to him, eat, drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. He didn't hear it in the natural. He heard it in the spiritual. You see, when he tells Ahab, eat and drink, get ready, because it's coming, the sun is still baking them. They are still in the middle of a 3.5, or they're at the end, but nobody knows, of a 3.5-year famine. Nothing has changed in the natural when he speaks that. Why did he speak it? God told him. I want you to see something here, and then he goes to prayer. If God has told you something, speak it, and then go to prayer about it. Your prayers have just as much power as Elijah's, according to what we read in James. Then he prays, and he prays the first time, sends his servant, because he knows that when you pray, at some point, there's going to be a natural, visible sign that it's happening. And so he sends him, go look. You know, when I pray for people for healing, sometimes I'll ask them, check it out. You know, if it was your leg, how does it feel? I'm like, it doesn't feel any different yet. Well, let's pray again. Elijah did. Too often, though, we're like, well, I'm going to pray once. If God doesn't answer, then it's his fault. Really? Or I'll do 3 times, because, you know, 3 strikes, and then you're out, God. What? Who gives us the right to say when God strikes out? It's not him striking anyways. It's you praying. Are you convinced God spoke it? Because when you're convinced, you pray, and you pray again if necessary, and you pray again if necessary. You don't quit. And so he didn't quit. And he prayed. And the 7th time, he said, I see a cloud like the size of a man's hand. And I love this. Did you know a cloud the size of a man's hand is pretty small, and it's going to be like 5 raindrops? But what does he say? There it is. There is the sign. There is the beginning of what I've been praying for. I see it. He said he sees it. It's coming. And he says, go tell Ahab, get up, get moving. You're about to see a mighty rainstorm. Somebody here today, you're needing to see a sign the size of a man's hand. God says he's going to show it to you. And when he shows it to you, you better take action, because he's answering. And then the little thing at the end, God gives him special strength, and he runs ahead of the chariot all the way to Jezreel. Just in case anybody's wondering, it's about 30 kilometers that he runs and outruns a horse for 30 kilometers. And we're not talking about a fat horse in a pasture. These were horses they used every day. They could run nonstop. Wow. Think of, why did God even do that? I'm going to tell you something. God will do the miraculous for you if you're willing to pray. And I don't know about you, but there's been a few times when God has answered a prayer that we've been praying for. I feel like running too. Never ran a horse, outran a horse or anything, but I feel like running. It's like, whoo, if he could do that, somebody want to race? I will win. My 4-year-old daughter is always like, Dad, want to race? Doesn't matter where we are, especially if it's a long hallway. Dad, want to race? And it's like, whoo, there's excitement there. Now, I let her win pretty much every time, so she always wants to race me. Because it's a thrill of winning. Oh, church. God wants to answer some prayers for you that you've been praying for a while. And he wants you to feel that excitement, that joy, where you are almost coming off the ground. And if someone challenged you to a race, you'd be gone on ready. Get set, go. Yeah, my 4-year-old does that too. But anyhow, church, when is the last time you felt that? Where you felt like, I can do anything. If it's been a long time, I'm thinking you have not had an answered prayer for a while. You have not seen a victory. So I've got good news for you. We're going to pray that you get to see an answer. We're going to pray for victory at the end of the service today. We make healthier communities spiritually by dealing with sin and evil. Proverbs 29:2, when the godly are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked are in power, they groan. Matthew 11:20, then he began to rebuke the cities which most of his mighty works have been done because they did not repent. You see, ignoring sin or evil in a community is like ignoring sickness or pain in your body. If you refuse to deal with it properly, you'll become unhealthy, you may become unable to function, and you may even die. You see, you've got to deal with these things. They don't deal with themselves. As a matter of fact, Scripture says evil must be resisted. In other words, it doesn't leave on its own. You've got to resist it. James 4:7, humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. If evil's happening, you're like, I'm just going to ignore it, and it'll go away. No, it won't. That's not how the enemy works. If he's not resisted, he'll just take a little more ground. If he's not told, get out, this isn't your property, he'll stay. So church, learn to pray and learn to resist evil. Learn to turn from sin. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kinds of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you suffered a while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. I think we mentioned this at the beginning. You go through. Did you catch that? That's a going through with somebody who doesn't give up and knows how to resist the devil. In a community, evil doesn't go away unless the community has a way of dealing with it. Crime doesn't end unless somebody resists it. You see, if you got rid of all your police and you just went around patting people on the back and telling them nice things, you'd be in trouble. Because crime must be resisted if you want to see it end. That's how it is with evil and sin. 1 John 3:8. When people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. You got to resist him. And finally, I'm going to begin to wrap up with this today. And this is probably, you've heard me preach about what I'm about to say many times. We make healthy communities spiritually by continually helping people find and follow Jesus. You know, if you learn to pray and you're spiritually powerful and you can see miracles, but you don't lead people to Christ to follow him, you're missing it. Do you know, I've been in ministry many, many years, and I've met people who have forgotten the main thing. Oh my goodness, they can pray for 3 days straight, but they've never asked anybody to come to church or lead them to Christ. They've forgotten the main thing. Because you see, if we pray for days on end and we can get together and have a powerful shaking meeting, but we never lead people to Christ, we've forgotten our purpose. It was never about how great the meeting can be. It was about seeing people follow Christ. You and I must never forget in Acts 2, verse 40, the beginning of this amazing church that Jesus started and we're a part of. It says, Peter continued preaching for a long time. Save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those who believe what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. And John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You see, bottom line, people following Christ get free from spiritual oppression, and they help others in their community also get free. You want a healthy community? Help people find and follow Jesus. And then encourage them to help their friends. I tell you what, Jesus brings health and abundance like you wouldn't believe. He's the key. He's the answer to their prayer. Do you know that people that are struggling, possibly in crime and drugs, they are trying to cover things up. They are trying to deal with pain and hurt, and they don't know how. I know somebody who knows how. With one touch of his hand, healing. Hearts renewed and restored. In Mark 5 and verse 18, and this is our last scripture today. Mark 5 and verse 18, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who'd been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, no, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things that Jesus had done for him, and everybody was amazed at what he told them. Jesus had come to this community by boat, and when he got out on the shore and he started to walk, a man who lived in the graveyard and was possessed by many demons came out and stood in the way. And when they realized it was Jesus, the evil spirit said, oh, don't send us to the bottomless pit. Send us out into these pigs. They knew they were about to be removed. And he had many, many demons in him. And Jesus simply said, go. And the demons ran and they went into a large herd of pigs which went down into the sea and died. And the people came out, and there is the man who used to live in the graveyards and the tombs, and they had tried to tie him with chains and he would break the chains. He was someone they were all afraid of. He was sitting there clothed in his right mind, but at that moment all the people could think about was the unbelievably large amount of pigs. Their wealth, their well-being was dead in the ocean. And they said, Jesus, get out of here, get out of here. We don't want you here. Jesus gets back in the boat to leave, and the man who had been demon-possessed says, Jesus, can I come where you're going? And Jesus said, no, I want you to go back home and talk to your family and the people who knew you. He talks to 10 different towns of people saying, yeah, I'm that guy. You remember that guy who used to live in the graveyard, break chains and was creepy? That's me. It's not me anymore. You see, he was so possessed by devils, he was like a wild animal. He didn't even have clothes. And here he is in his right mind telling everybody about what Jesus did for him. Do you know, from Scripture, we can see that Jesus came back through those areas, and when he did, there was a multitude of people who came, who were healed, and who were set free. You want to know why? Because that man went and told them. I got some good news for you today. It is not hard to tell others about Jesus. Just tell them what he's done for you. And when they see that you aren't the same, they're going to follow you to Jesus. So what about you? What about you today? Are you ready to follow him? Do you want to begin a new life with him? If you do, I got good news. Today's your day. Not tomorrow, not next week. Today. Let me add, are you broken and you need some healing? Well, today is a day you can also be healed. You see, Scripture says today is the day of salvation. Salvation means being made whole completely. Mind, body, soul, and spirit. You're broken and you need healing? Then today you can receive it. But you see, I want to talk right now about anybody who may have showed up today. You've not yet accepted Christ as your Savior. Maybe you have not yet said, yes, I'll follow him. If that's you today, we're going to take time as a group to pray a prayer, because here's the thing. Jesus came. He died on a cross. His blood was shed. His body broken. He did it for you and I. He did it so that we could be in relationship once again with the Heavenly Father, so that we could receive that abundance. You see, sin separated all people from the relationship with the Father God. And Jesus said, I'm going to make a way for this relationship to be strong once again. And he said, I'm going to do it by giving my life. And guess what? There's just one way to receive that. One way. Believe it and use your words. He said, if you believe Jesus died and rose again, and you believe he did it for you, you just need to confess it with your mouth or speak it. So in our church, we do a short prayer that just lets you use words to say, yeah, I want what Jesus did, and I want to follow him. So we're going to do that right now, and I'm going to ask all of you to join in with me for that one or two who maybe are going to be doing this for a first time, really understanding it. So everybody repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. Make me new. Use my life. I choose to follow you. Amen. Give God praise for that this morning.